specialty food. It's an $80 billion industry that seems to offer some opportunities for people who are looking to start small food businesses. This is because many consumers these days are bypassing big-name brands for more artisanal and locally made foods. But as NPR's Allison Arbery reports, those who jump into this industry find obstacles they might not have expected.
A few years back when the economy was in the tank, Jonas Singer was unemployed and looking for something new to try. He was interested in food, and so was his friend Cullen Gilchrist. So the two of them decided to open a cafe.
We had a friend called Darnell, who owns Darnell's, which is a bar in Northwest D.C. And Jonas, my business partner, just went up to him and asked if we could open a cafe there during the mornings.
Now, between Jonah's business chops and Cullen's years of working in restaurants, they thought they were good to go. So when they hung their sign for the Blind Dog Cafe, they started working out of a 2-foot kitchen in the back of the bar using an old KitchenAid mixer.
I had this dream of making everything from scratch.
Which they did. But along the way, they learned a lot about what it really takes to run a food business. You need licenses, health inspections. And to make money, they quickly realized they needed to scale up and move to a professional kitchen.
So we started looking around, and there's nowhere. There's no shared kitchens. We could only find things that were absolutely enormous.
And way out of their budget, leases ran in the tens of thousands of dollars. Cullen and Jonas were not alone. The local food scene was starting to take off. There were kombucha makers, local creameries, all the food trucks. But there was no infrastructure to support these startups.
We were at the cafe all day, and people would come and be like, I make pickles for a living. We'd be like, that's awesome. Where do you do it? Church basement, you know? Everyone had a bad answer to that question.
So Cullen and Jonas took an idea from the tech sector. Technology incubators are places where tech startups share space and try to grow their businesses. Why not start a food incubator?
Welcome to Union Kitchen.
It's 7 a.m. at this converted brick warehouse, not far from the U.S. Capitol, and the place is already buzzing. Among the 50 startups, there are bakers, beverage makers, even Korean taco makers.
So this is the main kitchen area.
It feels kind of like a cross between a busy restaurant kitchen and a group house where everybody's cooking on top of each other and using each other's stuff. At one station, a 60-quart mixer hums against a stainless steel counter as baker Jenna Huntsberger pulls sheets of cookies out of double-stacked convection ovens.
This is a brown butter snickerdoodle, and then this is a salty oatmeal cookie.
Jenna is back-to-back with two guys sautéing tofu, part of an Asian food startup, and a sausage maker who's hand-rolling half-smokes. And what's that behind the sausages?
These are all 50-gallon drums, all filled with kombucha.
That's Daniel Bay. He's kind of like the roommate who leaves his food sitting around a little too long, but he's following a precise method, fermenting teas into kombucha. Lots of it.
So we have like a peach tea, we have a coconut tea, all different kinds.
Both Daniel Bay and Jenna Huntsberger say moving into the incubator has given their businesses a boost.
My business has grown over 100% from what we did in 2012 to what we're going to do in 2014.
So here's how the incubator works. Jenna has a membership, kind of like a gym membership. Her monthly fees cover the use of the mixer, the ovens, all the equipment. It's about a fifth of the cost of leasing her own space. But Union Kitchen is a lot more than just a shared space. Soon after Cullen Gilchrist started the incubator, he realized that most of the startups had a lot to learn.
You know, it's like, wow, this person has no idea they need a business license. This person's never had a health inspection. So we saw all those things. We started making solutions for each step along the way.
So now members can pay extra for help with sales, marketing, and perhaps more importantly, a way to distribute their food.
We do distribution now, where Whole Foods can just call us.
Grocers and other wholesalers can order food from any of the 50 businesses.
We drive it out there, we drop it off, put it on the shelves. Whole Foods, whoever, just pays us. And then we take the money and we pay it out to everyone. So we take all the hassle out.
It's working all over the country. There are now more than 100 food incubators, and not just in foodie meccas like Portland and San Francisco, but also North Carolina, Ohio, and Louisiana. At Union Kitchen, 10 members and alumni businesses are moving up and out to open their own storefronts this year, which is about 20% of the startups.
A lot of people are growing, and they're growing rapidly, which is awesome.
But in a business as tough as food, of course, there's no guarantee of success. So what if, after testing the waters, some of these rookies realize it's just not for them?
I mean, you want to open a business here, and 3 months in you realize it was a terrible idea, you're out a couple $1,000s.
You haven't taken out a big loan or signed a lease, so you cut your losses and you move on. Allison Aubrey, NPR News.